Want to hear it?
Oh, sorry. I'm a bit ripe. I'll just get downwind a little bit more.
But would you like to hear it?
Nah, it won't take long. Okay. Well, it's been quite a ride, and so you're going to have to hang on. Try and keep up. Okay. Well, start from the beginning. You may not know it, but I'm an Israelite prophet. I serve the true and living God. Yeah. He told me that I needed to come here and preach against the wickedness of Nineveh. By the way, what are you doing? No. I don't mean how did you get here. I mean, why are you here? You came to gamble and take shows and Well, anyhow, let me get back to my story. God called me to, commanded me, as a matter of fact, to come and preach against the wickedness of the Ninevites. And also their godless lifestyle. Something you may not know is people of Nineveh are mean and cruel, heartless. And they have done horrible atrocities to the Israelite people. My people! I hate them! I wish to see them destroyed. Anyway. God commanded me to come to Nineveh. I didn't like his plan. So I changed it. Not my own plan. Packed my bags, and I headed for Joppa. That's the seacoast port. I was headed for Tarshish. Well, I got there, and I talked to a sea captain of a sea freighter, and I asked him if I could hitch a ride, which he said I could. Rather exorbitant price, I might add. However, I did pay the price, and I went below, and I went to stow my luggage. Last thing I remember, one of the last things, was I heard the sailors from other ships calling to their friends on the port, and felt the ship slip silently away. And maybe I was a bit tired from my trip to the port, but I thought, you know what, maybe I'll just lie down and rest my eyes. And so I did. And I guess I fell asleep. Because the next thing I knew, I was rudely awoken by a punch in the stomach. When my eyes flew open, I was met by this face that was twisted in rage and terror all at the same time. It belonged to the captain. He bellowed at me and he said, "Get off your bunk and get on your knees and pray to your God for safety." Well, I groggily staggered up the stairs to the deck, and wow, what a sight met my eyes. The deck was pitching back and forth and front and back like some crazed bronco. And the main mast, well, it was broken, and the mainsail was in tatters, and terror-stricken sailors were madly rowing, but being deluged by every wave that came across the deck, I was so afraid that they were going to be drowned every time it happened. And other terrified sailors, they were madly throwing valuable cargo off the side of the ship in order to lighten it. There was abject fear on everyone's face. And then someone came up with the bright idea of drawing straws to see who was responsible. Well, I knew who was responsible. Me. Anyhow, as luck would have it, I drew the short straw. They cornered me and demanded to know what it was that brought me here. What was my story? And so I told them. I said, I am a prophet of the true and living God, the God who created the earth and the sea. And I also told them that he had commanded me to go and warn my enemies of their coming destruction, but that I had run away. At that point, they screamed at me in unison and told me that I was crazy and mad, and how could I defy the true and living God, the God who made the earth and sea? Well, once they got that out of their system and settled down, then they asked me what to do. I knew. Well, I am a prophet. I told them that they needed to throw me into the sea and then the sea would become calm. Well, they didn't really want to do that. And so they rowed harder and they threw more valuable cargo off the ship. But you know, it seemed that the storm got worse. And you know, I believe it did, because God was trying to make a point. Well, eventually they gave up. And they sank to their knees, all of them. And they prayed to God and they begged him to spare their lives and to not make them responsible for the consequences of my disobedience. Huh. And then they ended their little prayer meeting with asking for forgiveness for what they were about to do. Without a word, four of them picked me up and tossed me into the sea. I remember as I was flying through the air going, ha ha, I don't have to go to Nineveh. My work here on earth is done. And then I hit the water. And the minute I hit the water, the second I hit the water became calm, like glass. And the wind, it was like someone had snuffed out a candle. Then something touched my foot. And terror overtook me as I thought about some sea creature preparing to tear me limb from limb. My departure from this world was not going to be quick and easy. And then, suddenly, I was caught up in this slipstream of water, and I was being swept towards this dark cave. However, as I passed the mouth of the cave, I noticed rows of teeth. And I realized that I was being swallowed by some monster fish who was inviting me for supper. Before the maw of that monster fish closed, I noticed the little ship bobbing on a calm ocean. And the big burly sailors, well, they were on their knees with their hands raised to heaven. And then, blackness. Terrifying blackness. Blackness like I never knew. Blackness that seeped into my pores and seemed to go right down into my inner being. As the water lapped around my waist, I was filled with terror and horror and dread and hopelessness and just a sense of impending doom and never-ending blackness. There were little creatures, little beings that had been swept in along with me, and they kind of wiggled and nibbled around my body. And the bottom underneath me was kind of spongy and moving. But the blackness, the terrifying blackness. And time just seemed to stand still. But the blackness continued. And amidst that, there was the constant tum-tum, 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 the heartbeat of this monster fish. And then there was my own heartbeat, which was beating so hard, it was like it was going to explode from my chest. Oh, I was terrified. So terrified. And then, finally, it seemed I came to the end of myself. The end of my rope. And I just wanted to die. And yet, I also wanted to live. So, in my personal hell, I cried out to God, and he heard me. I told him that I was sorry for my rebellion, and I told him that I would obey his every command, even if it meant going to Nineveh and preaching against their wickedness. You know, and immediately a peace enveloped me. And my heart settled down. A short while later, I felt this sea monster, sea fish, grind to a halt. And of course, I was thrown off my feet into the digestive juices of this creature. But not for long. No, because suddenly I felt myself being swept along at a great pace and suddenly hurtling through the air. And I landed in this soggy splat on a deserted beach. I sat there amongst the seaweed and partially digested fish and whale sputum and a sodden mess, but grateful to be alive. Well, the word of the Lord came to me and said, get up. You need to go to Nineveh and preach against their wickedness. And no, you cannot bathe. And my spirit will tell you what to say. And so I went. I didn't argue. So here we are. 39 days later. I have crossed and recrossed this city. And unfortunately, they have repented. They have taken off their fine clothes, their fancy clothes, yes, including the king, and have put on sackcloth.
and put ashes on their head as a sign that they have turned from their wicked ways and don't plan on returning back to them. You know, I think they hope that God will relent and let them go. And I hope not. Well, I've kept you longer than I had planned, my friend. And so, I shall let you go. I'll bid you adieu. I need to go up to my little hut, further up the mountain. Oh, by the way, you might want to be out of town by sundown. Maybe. Well, when do the fireworks start? What do you mean they're not going to start? I knew it! I knew it! I knew that you were a merciful God. I knew that you would let them go. That's why I didn't want to come here in the first place. I have been shipwrecked. I've been swallowed by a fish, partially digested. I've been vomited out on the land. I've traipsed back and forth here on this godforsaken city. Oh, excuse me. Not godforsaken. And I've warned them of their coming destruction. And now you're not going to do it. What about my credibility? What am I supposed to do with that? I give up. Well, that was Jonah. Just a couple of things. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but there's three things that we can pull out of Jonah. There's his disobedience, and then his obedience, and then there's God's part. That's really the gospel in a nutshell. Jonah ended where we need to start. I give up. I give up who I am, my wants, my desires, and all of that. And I give it up to you, Lord. It's a good place to start. Some of you have known Marianne and I for, well, since we came here, and some of you, not sure, there may be some of you who don't know me from Adam, and so my desire for the next couple of minutes is simply to tell you who we are. Like, where did we come from, and what's this all about? Marianne and I both accepted the Lord when we were considerably younger, in our early teens. And it was during our teen years that we really sensed God calling us towards full-time Christian work. And we didn't know each other. But both of us said an emphatic yes, we'll do it, Lord. And then when the mountaintop experience passed and we started to think about the reality of what our vow meant, we both said no. I can't speak for Marianne, but I can relate very well to Jonah because I ran the other way. As a matter of fact, I ran away to Manitoba Hydro and climbed as a lineman for 3.5 years, even though I was petrified of heights. After falling down a couple of poles, which didn't exactly help my fear of heights, and ending up hanging mid-span, that's another story, the Lord allowed me to leave that place of employment. And he allowed me to go and tour as an actor for a year and a half with a group called Covenant Players out of Los Angeles. That group is a Christian group there, and it's a faith-based ministry. And that's where God started to show me that he's a God who can be trusted. He is a God who can be trusted. Even when we're unfaithful, He is faithful. There were times when we would roll into a city and have no idea where we were going to sleep, have no idea what we were going to eat, have no idea where we were going to perform, and yet God opened the way for all of those things. We slept on a lot of church floors. I ate a lot of granola, but I never went hungry. I never went without a roof over my head. God will supply our needs. So, this was in the late 70s. And when I came back from that, I went, I'm done with missions. I fulfilled my vow. Done. Finished. Then I met my beloved Marianne. And during our courtship, we talked a lot about missions. We talked about, yep, we need to get to that sometime. We talked about, well, you know what, maybe when we retire, we'll get to missions. And so we got married, and we had a couple of lovely children, and we got involved in our church, and we didn't forget about missions. Anytime we heard a missionary speak, God was prodding us. We'd look down the row at our friends, and they're just sitting back there, just enjoying the speaker and everything, and Marianne and I are just like cats on a hot tin roof, just, you know, this is just not where we need to be right now. Anyhow, we were very convicted. During my business life, I was in mid-management, and so I had the pleasure of being downsized, right-sized, upsized, downsized, and I found myself unemployed numerous times. The interesting thing is that God, not out of the ordinary, but God was faithful during those times. We were able to do more things when I was unemployed than when we were employed. And it was during our time of unemployment that God taught me to tithe regularly. Doesn't make sense. But God showed himself faithful in so many ways. I could regale you with all kinds of stories of just how God came through and just the neat things that he did that increased our faith and just showed us that he is a God who can be trusted. During our mid to late 40s, we heard John Piper speak on finishing well, and we went, you know what, that's what we really want to do. We really want to finish well. I started taking a Bible study, Experiencing God, by Henry Blackaby. And God really revealed himself to me in that time. And I remember am I getting ahead of myself? Yeah, I probably am. I was taking that Bible study, and God started moving pieces into place. And he brought people like Bev Taylor and Dale and Teresa Murray into our lives. Dale and Teresa were with an organization known as SEND, which we happen to be with now, interesting enough. But I remember sitting down with them. Well, I remember getting a call from Bev saying, yeah, I got some friends coming over to our place tonight. And they're from a mission organization. Why don't you guys come over for supper, and why don't you bring your resume? So I remember Dale kind of looking at my resume and stroking his beard a little bit and going, yeah, there might be a place for you in SEND. And then he said, you know, really, for you to be able to get a sense of SEND, you really need to come to family conference. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, fat chance, that's not going to happen. I've been out of work for the last 3 months. We don't have a whole lot of disposable income. But you know what? We got a call the next morning from someone saying, you know, if you really want to go to family conference, we'll pay the shot. So what could we do but go? So we went to family conference, and I remember us coming back and Marianne saying, so what do you think? And I said, well, you know, the Ukraine sounds really, really good, but I sure would not want to move to London because it's hot and it's muggy. And that was one of the things way back when I first made my vow to the Lord, I said, I know that he's going to send me to Africa or one of those places where it's hot and muggy and mosquito-y. So we got back to life in Winnipeg and carried on. And we just did not hear from the Lord. We didn't hear from Sand other than Dale and Teresa. They stayed in touch with us. And in October, Marianne was praying, having her devotions, and she said, Lord, you know, we must be really, really thick. We're just not seeing where you're opening the path for us. You're going to need to hit us over the head with a brick. Well, we came home from work that day, and on our answering machine was a message from the general director of SEND Canada, inviting us to apply for the director of personnel job. Thank you. Well, we kind of took that as maybe it was the Lord's leading in that. But we said, you know, we're not going to kick open any doors or anything like that. We are going to go slowly and allow the Lord to open the doors and make the pathway smooth. And so that's what we did. Around that same time, I was still going through my Bible study, Experiencing God, and there is a point in there where it says, okay, if you know all these things about God, and you realize that he's a God who can be trusted, is there anything stopping you from doing what he wants you to do? And I'm going, no, I guess not. For the first time in my life, I prayed, God, I surrender all. I surrender all my wants, my desires, my future. There it is, Lord. It's out in front of you. A week later, I got a call from my brother-in-law. Actually, Marianne got a call from my brother-in-law and said, hi, Marianne. I know that Patrick has some time on his hands. And, when I said I surrender all, I said, and Lord, if it means going to Africa or one of those places, I'll go. So a week later, her brother calls and says, yeah, I'm leading a team to Africa. Wondering if Patrick wants to go. But I know how he feels about missions. I was of the persuasion that I was a sender, not a goer. And so I was quite content to send people off and, you know, contribute to their going. So he said, I want you to pray about it, wait till he's in a good mood, and then ask him. Marianne got off the phone and went, Len wants to know if you want to go to Africa. What can I say but yes? And anyhow, a lot of things happened between that time, but we both ended up being able to go to Africa. This was very much along the same lines as what you do, Perry, doing the hut-to-hut evangelism. I'm not a hut-to-hut evangelism type person, but God enabled us to be able to do that. Through Marianne's work, we had all our medical things paid for, and there weren't shots for getting malaria or anything like that. You just had to take pills, which we started taking religiously. So we get to Mwanza, Tanzania, and we're there maybe 2 or 3 days, and I start to feel feverish. And then it gets worse, and they take me to the hospital, and they go, "You have malaria." How can that be? So I remember I was lying on my bunk in the middle of the afternoon. Everybody else had piled into vans, and they had gone to work with the 84 churches that we were working with. And I was lying on my bunk in the hotel, whining to the Lord, saying, "Lord, why did you even bother bringing me here if I can't do missions?" And clear as a bell, I heard the Lord say, "I want you to speak to the staff here in the hotel." It's kind of, what? Not 30 seconds later, there's a knock on the door, and there's a black lady. She introduces herself as Stella and says, "Hi, I'm the hotel manager. And I heard you were sick, and so I came up to see how you were doing." She walked up 4 flights of stairs to find out how I was doing. And then she said, "Oh, by the way, what's your group doing here?" And so I told her that that we were followers of Jesus Christ, and that we had come to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. And I said, "Would you like to hear my story?" She said, "Yeah, I would." And so I told her my story of the times when I felt like I had no value, the times when because of my sin, I felt so far from God. But I also told her of the times when I asked God for forgiveness for my sin and how he gave me value and purpose. And she started to cry. And she told me that her husband had just left her for another woman. And I told her, I said, "You know, Jesus gives you value. Would you like to hear about him?" And I had the opportunity of being able to share Christ with this lady. And I had the opportunity of being able to lead her to the Lord. And she looked up after her prayer of repentance and asking for forgiveness and thankfulness. She looked up with a big smile on her face and said, "So, are you going to tell the rest of my staff about this?" And I said, "Can I?" And she said, "Yes, take all the time you want." Time does not permit me to be able to tell you all the different stories. But by the end of those 2 weeks that we were there, 13 of those staff had come to know the Lord. That's God. That's not Patrick. That's not the team he was with. That's God at work. And I encourage you to allow God to work in your lives, to say yes to God at work. Well, we came back from Africa, and we continued on in our journey towards Send. There were two things when I looked at missions that I really didn't want to do. I didn't want to have to raise support. I didn't want to have to raise a support team of people that were willing to act as senders. And I didn't want to leave Winnipeg. So I looked at all the missions in Winnipeg, and I couldn't find one that was a real good fit. And God raised up supporters for us, and he changed our hearts, and we were able to give up our beloved little house that we'd lived in for over 20 years. And we sold our house, and we moved to London. And you know what? We love it here. Without us realizing it, God gave us the desires of our heart. We're here, and we're doing exactly what we had purposed in our hearts that we wanted to do when we retired, and that was to come alongside missionaries. We wanted to be able to come alongside them and to encourage them and to be able to give them that hug and to just equip them. And in the job that we have, we're able to do that. And we're not retired. We're second career people. Being with God, that sounds interesting. When you surrender yourself to God, you're opening yourself up to a huge adventure. And I encourage you that if there is something that you're saying, I'm not doing it, and if God is calling you to it, I encourage you to say yes. Marianne says, why do you keep putting yourself out there? Why do you do these plays? Why do you, put yourself on the edge? Well, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much room. But talking about living on the edge, there's something that we wanted to do when we first came to Send, and that was to be able to have an idea as to what it's like to be a new missionary. And so to that end, Marianne and I are leaving September 12th for about 6 weeks in the Ukraine. And we're not going there as dignitaries from Canada. We are not going there where they're going to roll out the red carpet. We're going there in new missionary skin, in that we'll be living in our own apartment. We'll be traipsing down the 5 flights of stairs every day to go to language school, and we'll be going to intensive language school. We'll see if we can teach an old dog new tricks. And it's just our opportunity to find out what it's like to be in the a cross-cultural environment for a relatively extended period of time. We would value your prayers very much in regards to that. We also have to raise support for that as well. I've got sheets out there by our little Send display. If you want to contribute to that financially, we'd appreciate that. But we're trusting God. We know that God has an adventure for us. We know that God has things that He's planning on teaching us that I have no idea what He's planning on teaching. But I would encourage you, to genuinely ask if there's a part for you to play. If there's a part for you to play in His great commission, whether it's to go, or whether it's to send, or whether it's to encourage, I believe that there's a part for everyone to play. But also, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a personal relationship with God, then I would implore you that just like Jonah, give up. Give up everything that's holding you back and accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Accept Him as Lord of your life and say, Lord, I'm ready for the adventure. And let me tell you, it's an adventure. Life will not be boring. If you do know Him, and there are things that He's told you to do, that you've said, nope, not doing it, again, I implore you, give up. Give up. And allow Him to change you into the vessel that He wants you to be. Give up and obey.
Thanks, Patrick. I'm sure, like your life parallels, most of us have a Jonah, a bit of Jonah in each of us. We also know that though if we know accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we know that no matter what, God is in control and all is well. Even when we're off on those jags, off in the wilderness, even when we feel in the depths of despair, God is with us and all is well. Please stand. He lowers us to raise us, so we can sing His praises. Whatever is His way, all is well. He makes us rich and poor, that we might trust Him more. Whatever is His way, all is well. All my changes come from Him, He who never changes. I'm held firm in the grasp of the rock of all the ages. All is well with my soul. He is God in control. I know not all His plans, but I know I'm in His hand. He closes now, then strips us, yet with His word He equips us. Whatever is His way, all is well. And though our seasons change, we still exalt His name. Whatever is His way, all is well. All my changes come from Him, He who never changes. I'm held firm in my grasp of the rock of all the ages. All is well with my soul.
That?
I really implore you, because all is well if you're walking with the Lord, all is well with your soul. He is God in control. There's a danger when listening to someone talk about their journey with the Lord. They can go, oh well, yeah, that's easy for them because they're holy, they're whatever. That's not what it is at all. As Marianne and I step out and go to Ukraine, we're scared spitless, to be honest with you. It's a frightening experience to think of going to the language school. It's a frightening experience to think of of going to a place where people don't speak English. They don't necessarily play by the same rules. But you know what? God is in control. And wherever you're at, in your circumstances, I encourage you, turn it over to the Lord. Say, Lord, this is yours. I surrender it to you. I've been hanging on to it. I've been trying to figure it out. But I can't figure it out anymore. And I'm handing it back to you. Maybe there's someone you need to ask for forgiveness from. Maybe there's something that you need to make right. Maybe there's something that you're hanging on to. I encourage you this day, surrender it to the Lord. He is God in control. He is God who can be trusted. Can we go in peace?